Neil Coggin from Myrtle Beach sends his greeting. Enjoy coming to fellowship with you. Share the word. So we'll just open in prayer. Lord, we just pray that you'd give us something from yourself that might feed and challenge and be a blessing to the hearers. And we just give you thanks in your name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. Just stop there. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Talk a little bit about Uzziah and Isaiah. Uzziah, in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 3, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah, Jerusalem. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now he goes on to tell us how militarily Uzziah was victorious against all the enemies round about him. Verses 6 and 7 and 8. He built towers in Jerusalem and in the various areas, 9 and 10. He was very successful in the economy. His fame went throughout all the areas round about. So he was, as long as he sought the Lord, he prospered militarily, economically, became very wealthy, became very secure. And apparently, you know, he became king at 16. Started as a young man. Started off very well. Apparently he had a mentor named Zacharias, who directed him, helped him. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Maybe you got saved when you were young. We're going to see that Isaiah was a young man too, and how he saw the Lord and sought the Lord. Uzziah started off very well, and he listened to good advice from apparently a godly man. And so as he sought the Lord, everything went well. Maybe you got saved while you're young. Maybe you were very diligent to follow the Lord. The Lord touched you when you were young and to seek him. But there comes a point with Uzziah where, and this is a temptation when you're too successful. You're too successful. And, you know, he was a king for 52 years. So he started off young, listens to advice, but as he's getting older, he's saying, well, you know, I know what I'm doing. Look at how successful. Everything I do is it's gone well. And it went to his head. Look at verse 16. Here's the temptation. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction. You know, Uzziah means strength from the Lord, strong in the Lord, something like that. He forgot what his name meant. He looked back and he said, patted himself on the back and said, well, you are something else. You're really smart. You know, you've made all these decisions and look how well they went. And his heart was lifted up in pride. Looked around Jerusalem and said, is not this great Jerusalem that I have built? There was another man that did that, a guy named Nebuchadnezzar. Is not this great Babylon that I have built? He forgot that his strength was in the Lord. God, what the meaning of his name was. And there's always a temptation when you're successful to take credit for yourself and to give it to the Lord. In fact, believers, I think, often handle the frowns of the world better than they handle the applause of the world. Remember Hezekiah later on, when the enemies round Jerusalem wanting to destroy it, he humbles himself before the Lord and spreads out the letter, calls independence on the Lord. The Lord gives him a great victory. But then these messengers from Babylon show up, congratulate him on overcoming his sickness, which was nigh unto death. And Hezekiah shows them all his treasures. And Isaiah himself, again, this was in his latter part of his ministry, he has to say, who came from Babylon? They're going to come and take all these treasures. The applause of the world, the smile of the world, the success sometimes goes to our head. And in this case, Uzziah says, I'm the king around here. Why shouldn't I be able to go? Why should the priests be able to go into that temple and worship the Lord and burn incense? I'm the king. I can do that. It says, he transgressed against the Lord his God, went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They withstood Uzziah, the king, and said unto him, it pertaineth not to thee, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed, neither shall it be for your honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was angry, had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests, the house of the Lord, from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. They thrust him out from thence, yea, himself hasted to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. The year he died, Isaiah is now a young man before he goes off into his ministry. In the year he died, Isaiah meets the Lord. The difference, though, both started as young men. Uzziah started off well, but finished poorly. Isaiah started off well, finished well. I think we'll see why. Maybe you've been grown up in the assembly all your life. Maybe you've prospered and done well and all. Let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. We can't live today on the past grace, on past successes. Temptation to become proud, to lose the humility, the lowliness, and take a haughty attitude. You have to be so very careful. We substitute the Lord and following him for form, tradition. It goes to our head. The Corinthians, they were puffed up, went to their head, instead of having that humility. We always have to stay lowly. And leaders, especially, Peter says in 1 Peter, about being clothed with humility. You know, if we act in pride, overbearing, we'll drive people away. We won't encourage them to go along. We'll be like the old rams in Ezekiel, nudged out those younger ones, trampled under water, you know, because they were stronger than them. We have to be ever so careful that the leprosy doesn't hit us. And you know, Isaiah knew about this man. knew about his history because the last verse in the chapter, or the verse 22, the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, write. He knew the history. He knew that Uzziah had overstepped his bounds. He knew that he became a leper when he went into the temple of the Lord. And he had no place being in the temple of the Lord. And the Lord had to smite him and show the lepers, his leper's heart shows it in his forehead. Well, Isaiah is now a young, you know, he's a young man in that year that he dies. And he has this vision of what? The temple of the Lord. He remembers Uzziah when he went into the temple. And you see in verse 1 of back to Isaiah 6, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. Two he covered his face. Two he covered his feet. Two he did fly. One cried unto another, said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. You know, Skip had asked me if there was any hymns that I might have that might fit in with the message. Just text it to him. I didn't text anything to him. He didn't know anything I was speaking on. But that first hymn, Holy, 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 is perfectly in line with this passage. Isaiah got a glimpse of the holiness of the Lord in his temple while he's a young man, beginning of his ministry. And that vision affected him all the rest of his life. And I think was also one reason why he started out well and finished well. Because one of the names that Isaiah uses, the predominant name throughout the book, whenever he refers to the Lord, he refers to him as the Holy One of Israel. In Hebrew, whenever you wanted to emphasize something, you would repeat the word twice. Like the verse in, I think it's chapter 27, where it says, that will keep him in perfect peace. Literally, that will keep him in shalom, shalom. And you repeat the word, shalom, shalom, twice. Only once, as far as I know, does the scripture repeat it three times. It's right here. Holy, holy, holy. And he sees this vision of the, in the temple of the Lord, the seraphim, the burning angels. Seraph means to burn. Burning angels around the Lord. The voice, holy, holy, holy. The place shakes. Smoke fills. Perhaps in the back of his mind, he remembers Uzziah went into the temple and his leprosy showed up. His uncleanness showed up. And what does Isaiah say? Then said I, woe is me, I am undone. Literally, I am silent. Can't say a word. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the Lord, the King, the Lord of hosts. The leper covered his mouth, unclean, unclean. Isaiah sees himself not coming there, coming there as not in pride. He's fearful of being in such a place of such holiness because he knows he's unclean. He knows he's a leper in his heart. How could he stand before such a holy God. People sometimes trust in their own good works and they'll say, I can stand before God because I can tell him I did this, I did that, I went to church, I gave my money, and I did my best. It's never any good. Because here we often just compare ourselves with others. Well, I didn't do that, but that person did. I'm not a murderer. I'm not an adulterer. God will accept me. We're looking at the wrong standard. Looking at the wrong yardstick. The yardstick is here. Holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord God of hosts. Who can stand before him? He requires perfect holiness. And we have to say, when we compare ourselves with that, I am in big trouble. I don't always do my, I never always did my best. I didn't measure up. I said the wrong things. Uncleanness went out of my mouth. People I'm around are unclean. We're all a bunch of lepers in the presence of the holiness of his temple. And what am I going to do? How can I stand in such a place? Well, we find out how Isaiah was able to stand. Then flew one of the seraphim. If you have the King James, it says seraphims. In Hebrew, it's seraph is singular, seraphim is plural. So seraphims, I guess, is English plural. just a little note. But it says, he having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar, he laid it on the mouth, my mouth, and said, lo, this has touched thy lips. Thy iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. It comes from the altar, the place where the sacrifice was. He's showing us how can unclean lepers stand in the presence of a thrice holy God only upon the basis of the sacrifice that was made at Calvary. The atonement that he bore our sins to take them away. That alone is our ticket to heaven. That alone is the answer for why God should let us into heaven. Not any of our good works. We confess our leprosy. We say, he paid it all. Jesus paid it all. In fact, it's kind of interesting. Later on, Isaiah is going to tell us a lot about the coming Messiah, the servant. And in Isaiah 53, where it says that he was stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. The Jews, when they look at that passage and they see he's stricken, they said the servant became a leper. Because it was the same word that said when God smote Uzziah, he became a leper. And when he's stricken of God, it's kind of fitting, isn't it? The way our leprosy is taken away is, as it were, by him taking our leprosy, by him bearing our uncleanness and all our sins, all the things that God and the law of Moses could rightly judge us for, it judged him for, so that we can be clean. So that he takes that burning coal and he puts it on our lips. And he tells us, your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. You don't have to worry about him anymore. We were at a conference recently. A man was talking about how his aunt had grown up in the church. She was the organist, went to church all the time. She always mowed the grass around the church. She did all kind of good works. And she was like 93, and she was dying. And she called him up, and she said, I'm really afraid of dying. And he went to her and talked with her. And he said, why are you afraid of dying? She said, because I don't know that I've done enough for God to let me into heaven. And he said to her, well, what have you done? Oh, and then she went on the whole list of how she did this good work and that good work and played the organ and gave her money and even cut the grass until she was 93. And after she went through the whole list, he said, you're right, you haven't done enough. And she was just like ashen. Oh no, what am I going to do? And he said, you can never do enough. You cannot make God your debtor. You can't earn it. Salvation is a free gift. Jesus paid it all. Not Jesus paid some and you got to pay the rest. Not Jesus paid up till now and you have to make sure you're perfect till the end. Jesus paid it all. His sacrifice was so perfect in God's eyes that God said, I'm going to give the gift away. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough good works. You can never please me to the point where you deserve salvation. It's a free gift. All you have to do is receive it. Just recognize that he became your leper. Recognize that you were a leper, that you can't just come into his temple like Uzziah did without fear in his pride. You have to come like Isaiah. Isaiah remembered his name. Salvation is of the Lord. And he was afraid at first because he knew what he was in his heart. But God cleansed him. You have to come to him for cleansing. And you know, this is the basis of service, is first to recognize that we're sinners, that we're not good. Jesus doesn't save good people. He saves sinners. He cleanses sinners. Remember one of the first things Moses had to learn? When God was going to send him back into Egypt? Stick your hand in your bosom. Pull it out. What was it? Leprous. He's saying, that's what your heart is. You're not good at heart. In fact, you're worse than you can imagine. You know what? We are. We think we're better than we are. We're not. We're worse. But God's love is far greater because he knows us better than we know ourselves. We're leprous inside. We're born sinners. And we sin every day. How selfish. First decisions we always make is, how does it affect me? What's it going to do to me? Oh, that looks like the house is on fire. Oh, it was my neighbor. Wow, I'm glad it wasn't me. You know, self-centered from birth. Leprous from birth. But that's who God uses. But first of all, recognize it. Peter, before he goes off into service, the Lord says, cast your nets on the right side. And after he's worked all night long, he kind of says, well, to humor you, Lord, I'll cast a net out. You know, just one, even though he had been using several. The Lord had told him, cast the nets. And then he got through more fish and things started breaking. And he falls down at Jesus' knees and says, depart from me, O Lord, I'm a sinful man. From now on, you'll catch men. John, the one who had leaned on Jesus' bosom, when he saw the Lord in his glory, fell down at his feet as dead. We have to first see his holiness. In fact, John, in his gospel, tells us that Isaiah saw Christ's glory when he saw the king here. He saw his glory and he saw his humility. And he saw himself in relation to the Lord. But that is what prepared him for service. We all are servants. Are you serving the Lord? The motivation for our service is that we have seen the King, the one who is holy, holy, holy. And he's cleansed me. He's shown me my leprosy, and he's cleansed it. Now I'm fit to go and tell somebody else. And the Lord says here in verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. We'll never be a good servant if we're proud. If we don't realize that, look, we are no better than anybody else. We sometimes talk about those low lives. But you know, we're low lives. We talk about black sheep. We're all black sheep. Not one of us made salvation material. We were all lost and gone our own way. And the Lord had to seek us and to show us our own sinfulness, but show us His great holiness, His wonderful person. And He is what motivates us to tell others. Say, you know what? I was where you were. Now, you were out. That's where I was. You're not too bad for God. God can save you just like He saved me. The best advertisement is a satisfied customer. And so we share, and the Lord says, go and share. Sometimes our message has to be to wake up people whose eyes are closed and whose ears are deaf, and to give a message of judgment. And that's what He tells them at first here. Go and tell them. These people, they tell them that you can have eyes to see, but you won't see. Or ears to hear, and you won't hear. That's a real message, you know. The danger of hearing and seeing the grace of God and rejecting. The Lord said, woe to these cities where His great works had been done. Because it became commonplace to people. And it was like they saw, but they couldn't see. They had ears, but they couldn't hear. And the judgment, the final judgment had to come on Jerusalem, who killed the prophets. But He was also the one, you know, Isaiah is called the evangelical prophet. In fact, Handel, it's wonderful to go through the book of Isaiah and see the messianic prophecies and the gospel throughout of the virgin-born son, the son given, the one whose name was Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the one who in whom the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the one who would do miraculous things, and yet who would be the servant. Here he had seen, Isaiah had seen the Lord high and lifted up. In Isaiah 52, just prior to the suffering, or just the beginning of the suffering servant, he says he sees that servant high and lifted up. Same phrase, but then brought down so low. Uzziah, his heart was high and lifted up. The Lord wants us to see only Him high and lifted up. But Isaiah could go on and just give us all these wonderful prophecies of Christ. And God put that in His mouth to share with others. The Lord gives us message. The Lord tells us, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Speaking with wisdom for Him, serving the Lord. When the Lord could say, who shall I send? That we would have a willing spirit. And we would say, Lord, send me. One of the things often we say among the brethren is we don't want one-man ministry. Sometimes we erroneously say we don't have any pastors. That's not true. We have pastors. We just don't have one person that dominates everybody. Everybody here has a gift. Everybody here has a service. Everybody here should be like Isaiah, where you've seen the glory of the Lord and His holiness and what He's done for you. And then He says, gives us a willing heart to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Do you have that willing heart? Have you seen the Lord in the glory? You say, Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, what is my gift? Lord, what is my service? What do you want me to do, Lord? That was one of the first things Apostle Paul says, Lord, what would you have me to do? Shouldn't be coming just here to be entertained. Shouldn't just be coming here to hear somebody else. What do you bring? What do you bring? How do you serve? And one of the wonderful things in the remembrance meeting is that we all are priests. We all are priests. We all have the privilege of just worshiping the Lord. You don't have to be old to a certain age where you say, well, I can get it. You don't have to be able to pray long prayers. In fact, it's probably better not to pray long prayers. Short little thank yous. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. You know? Doesn't have to be all this worried, well, the brethren might judge my prayer and they might have to come to me and say, well, you said that word wrong or that word wrong. We're not there to judge people's praise. We're there to worship the Lord and serve Him because we're all priests. And in the body of Christ, we all have a function. But we have to be willing. But true service only comes out of seeing the Lord in His glory. Remember the church at Ephesus. John had to write, the Lord Jesus had to write. He said, I know your works and labor, etc. But they had left their first love. When Paul writes to the Thessalonians, your work of faith, he says, your labor of love, your endurance of hope, those were the motivations for service because they had given themselves to the Lord. Don't fall out of that and leave your first love. He's your motivation. I think Uzziah got taken up with his success, forgot where his strength lie was in the Lord, and it went to his head. And the Lord manifested it in the leprosy in the head. May we all fear to go into the temple in our own cleanliness. We can only be there to see the King, the Lord of hosts, because He has cleansed us through His precious blood. Shall we close in prayer? Lord, give us to see Your holiness, to see our uncleanness, to see that You set aside Your glory to take the lowest place. You emptied Yourself, humbled Yourself, stricken, came a leper for us to cleanse us. Father, we rejoice that You gave the Lord Jesus the name above every name, that every knee would bow and every tongue confess He's Lord. Pray that there's not one here that is not saved, pray that each have confessed You as Lord and know the cleansing power of Your blood. So we thank You in Your name. Amen.